It's time for High Plains Public Radio's weekly program, Growing on the High Plains. Here's Skip.
For several years, I've been taking extra garden produce to the Lee Richardson Zoo in Garden City, and the keepers put my gifts to good use by doling out treats to many of the animal residents. And since I don't use chemicals or bug repellents, most of what I have available from the vegetable garden and orchard goes to good use in all but the big cat cages. But this year, I learned that even the lions are glad to see my donations, especially the giant zucchini and squashes. Seems the zooks that look big enough to build a log cabin make favorite toys for the big cats as they pounce, claw, and attack the veggies for hours on end. And for the caged residents who are venerable vegetable eaters, the berries, melons, carrots, corn, grapes, greens, sweet peppers, sweet potatoes, green beans, cruciferous veggies, and citrus fruit are much appreciated by both the staff and the hungry animals. About the only garden vegetable that is on the off-limits list is onions, or members of the onion family, like chives and garlic, which are toxic to many animals. During my recent visit with the zoo staff, I learned of some other botanical gifts that are much appreciated by many of the animals and are fairly hard to come by. Edible flowers are real treats, especially nasturtiums and rose petals, which are favorites of the hoofstock and also the giant tortoise. And if you have a cactus garden, the big turtles love to nibble on cactus pads. Fresh herbs, especially the sensory types, invite some of the zoo residents to roll and sniff in the foliage and flowers. Many of the animals consider squash blossoms a real treat, so be sure to tuck in a few of the flowers the next time you deliver some overgrown zucchini or yellow squash. Another way to clear out your own growing areas and give the zoo some much-needed assistance is by donating fresh-cut browse or branches and leaves from trees and shrubs, which is made available to many of the animals on exhibit. Most browse comes from various trees that are fairly common to our HPPR listening area: elm, hackberry, cottonwood, redbud, mulberry, willow, and honey locust. However, there is a short no-no list that includes stone fruit trees because as the foliage wilts, it creates cyanide. The same warning goes for Johnson grass, and oak browse can't be used because it contains tannins. But don't let the off-limits listing of stone fruit browse keep you from bringing a few peaches, plums, cherries, or nectarines, because the staff removes the pits before feeding, and they also core any apples that are fed to a variety of animals. Since the zoo uses a minimum of 400 pounds of produce per week, they will gladly accept any donations you might gather from your yard and garden, orchard, herb garden, or flower beds. No chemical on the produce is most appreciated, although the staff can wash some items if needed and when given a chemical use warning in advance. And with autumn gardening chores approaching, don't forget to arrange for an order of a bag or more of zoodoo that's been composted by the maintenance staff from hoofstock poop, leftover produce, hay, straw, and animal bedding to spread on your garden beds for the next growing season. That's just one more way to prove the saying, "What goes around comes around," in the gardening world.
Growing on the High Plains is a production of High Plains Public Radio. It's written and narrated by Skip Mancini, and it's produced by Brian Burrell. To hear more Growing on the High Plains, visit hppr.org.